Welcome to the Grand Prix 24/7 podcast, your weekly insight into the world of Formula One. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Grand Prix 24/7 Formula One podcast. I'm your host, Will, and as always, I'm joined by Ben and Paul to discuss the final race of the 2020 Formula One season. Unfortunately, the season kind of went out with a bit of a whimper, but nonetheless, Max Verstappen got his second victory of the season and took the first non-Mercedes pole position of the season too. Paul, how do you assess that final race of the year?
Well, I think like for everybody, it was pretty boring. I think after the first few laps, I don't think that much changed. I think they started the way they ended, and there wasn't much going on. I really think we were robbed when Sergio's car parked. I think Sergio had something special. He still has something special, and I think it would have crossed over. When I saw that he was on the harder tyres right at the back of the field, it took a few laps to get going. But then the next minute you looked, he was up to 16th or something, you know, and he'd got past the bricks and the mobile chicanes at the back, and it would have been nice to see him go. So when he parked it was a bit of a shame, and I think that was all that was left of it. But again, you can't take it away from Max. You know, he was just absolutely stellar this weekend.
Yeah, Ben, I think Paul made an important point there about the safety car. Without allowing everyone to come into the pits, it did kind of ruin it from a strategy perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a bit of room in Pirelli's predictions, I think, for, you know, some sort of alternative strategies, teams to split drivers or, you know, just go the other way to their rivals. And that was sort of nullified, unfortunately. And the only one who really made it an alternative strategy work was Daniel Ricciardo. But yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's sometimes the way F1 races go.
But Paul, I will let you talk a little bit about Verstappen. He looked on top of things all weekend, and with Lewis not quite at his best and Valtteri still recovering from that shell shock, he was the best driver all weekend and he deservedly won.
Indeed. I mean, end of the day, Max brings his A game, and I think very few can touch him. Unfortunately, it's hero zero stuff for him, because I think he has to really push the car harder than the Mercedes guys do. It's pretty much like the Ferrari boys. So yeah, Max, fantastic job, well done. And again, Red Bull, you know, Red Bull always there, the stone in their shoe. So yeah, kudos to them.
Ben, I think that the message from Toto Wolff to Valtteri Bottas in qualifying over the radio suggested that maybe they knew that he was the only one who kind of had the speed this weekend to challenge Max, but he didn't get him on the first lap, he didn't get him in qualifying, and from there, you know, Mercedes basically had no battle with him.
No, although I don't want to sort of put too much on Valtteri, because I think Max just did such a stellar job. And as much as Valtteri has all these problems in races, if there's one race, one track, we can sort of excuse him for not making a fight of it, it's definitely this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, while we do go to this track with very little to play for, it isn't a great set of ingredients for good racing. And I think that was very clear today, especially with cars that were evenly matched. It looked pretty impossible to overtake. So that was certainly a problem. It only looked like the overtakes were happening when there was a tyre discrepancy. Paul, just have a word on McLaren. Obviously, they're going back to their Mercedes partnership from the past for next season. They've sealed third in the championship. And, you know, that's a pretty massive achievement for a team that 2 years ago potentially was the slowest car on the grid on merit.
Yes, you have to give credit to Zak Brown. He took a lot of criticism at the beginning, but he's definitely steered the ship in the right direction. It's a big ship and they're turning it, and they've got a big cash injection. I don't know how that stands in terms of McLaren ethos and its past and all that, but whatever the case, they've done a good job. Andrea Seidel, I think, is an amazing team manager. What he did at Porsche was unbelievable. BMW, he was incredible. And I think he's come to McLaren and he's revolutionized it, and to see McLaren in third, I wouldn't have predicted it at the beginning of the season. But they had two lovely drivers. You know, Lando Norris was absolutely superb, Carlos Sainz was great, and they bring Daniel Ricciardo in. I just see with Mercedes engine. So honestly, the last race McLaren did with Renault, they beat Renault comprehensively, and they sealed third in the championship. So yeah, I'm very proud. In my heart, I'm a McLaren man. And I think Zak Brown, you should take a bow.
It's been a remarkable turnaround, actually, when you look at things. Ben, they have the Mercedes engines. They have Daniel Ricciardo, who I think has been one of the best drivers in Formula One this season. Can they take a further step next season, potentially get up towards Mercedes and Red Bull, or is it more of a consolidation year?
I would lean towards consolidation. I just think Red Bull would still be too far ahead for the second place. They're definitely not going to catch Mercedes next year. And more realistically, it's those teams behind them, not just Racing Point and Renault, but Ferrari as well, that are going to be nipping at their heels, as they were. It was very close in the end. So, yeah, it'll just be, considering it's mostly the same chassis they're carrying over, it'll mostly just be trying to hold on to what they've got with a heavy focus on hitting the ground running in 2022.
We've mentioned it a couple of times already, but with Sergio Perez's blow-up, that pretty much took with it Racing Point's chances of sealing third in the championship. Paul, we've spoken in the past about how good that car is and the fact that maybe they've only just unlocked its full potential. Do you think they dropped the ball this season not securing third? Because I definitely think they've had the third best car.
Yeah, I don't know what went on there. The team's still quite new under the new management, in terms of, when I say new management, with Lawrence Stroll pulling the strings. So I'm not really sure. I expected a lot more, I must say. And I think last weekend at Sakhir, you know, Sergio showed us, right? I mean, I think they're under-delivered, and it being stolen from them will hurt. But at the same time, it's the end of a project that was once Force India, and it will now morph into Aston Martin. So, end of the day, you know, you look at Lance wasn't too perturbed. You know, he said, oh, well, it is what it is. So I think the next chapter of their history is what's going to be one to watch. This one they're closing. It was very much a patch-up job after the Force India debacle.
With Racing Point obviously becoming Aston Martin and they're bringing in Vettel to the team, you know, if you looked at the start of the season, I think fourth looks like a great achievement. But then when you factor out Ferrari and you factor out the fact that they have been so quick this season, it is a bit of a disappointment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But also, it's hard to knock them too much because they did have a fair bit of bad luck. I mean, they had six retirements and a DNS. For reference, McLaren had one DNS and three retirements. So there's a lot of points that have been taken off the table, not necessarily through their own fault. And that, you know, you would assume that luck is going to come back towards the centre a bit next year. And the question then becomes, and this is where they maybe did get let down a bit, is their driver combination isn't as strong as McLaren's. And it wasn't this year, and it probably won't be next year. So that means it's tough to see them sort of, you know, challenge race in and race out, but they get to have the car there to get some very good results for sure.
Yeah, and just to tie up the midfield, Renault with the third team in that battle for third place. And unfortunately, it's a season that's slightly fizzled out. Obviously, they're going to have the big ticket item in Fernando Alonso next season, and he will be driving for Renault, well, the team that is going to become Alpine, in the postseason test on Tuesday. Paul, what do you think you see the future for this Alpine team with Fernando Alonso at the wheel?
Well, first, it's with a heavy heart that I see Renault go. You know, Renault were a fantastic brand in Formula One. I remember when they came along, the first turbo era was them. They were first, I wouldn't say the laughing stock, but no one took them very seriously. They started their program with a Formula 2 program in the late 70s, and they arrived. And they just the turbo engines revolutionized everything. And Renault, they've been around. They did a lot for Williams. Yeah, it's a sad day that Renault is going. But at the same time, they're morphing into Alpine, so it's not like the Enstone operation is dying or anything. So it's just handing over of the baton. And of course, Fernando Alonso's box office, and he's so fired up. I mean, just watching him in the pits, how he wrangled a young driver test at the young driver thing, and he's like 40 years old or whatever, is amazing. And even drivers younger than him, but older than the young drivers, couldn't get in. So yeah, you know, put it this way, Alonso's back in the house, and believe me, he's coming out fighting, fists flailing, and that's it. Alonso's there to do war, and he can't wait for it. He's chomping at the bit. So I think we're in for some groovy times. And Esteban Ocon, well, he's going to have to step up to the plate this time for sure. Not to say that he didn't, but Daniel made him look super ordinary. And if Fernando Alonso does the same, I think Renault might be looking for another driver. But for now, I think it's a very exciting pairing. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this all evolves.
Yes, and while we know that Fernando Alonso will be at Alpine and Sebastian Vettel will be at Racing Point / Aston Martin, Carlos Sainz will be at Ferrari, we don't yet know what is going to happen with Alex Albon. Ben, he came fourth and was actually catching Lewis Hamilton towards the end of the race. Did he do enough to save his seat?
I don't think so. and this is the thing. We're in this thing. F1 fans might not have heard this term before, but if you follow basketball or any sort of sport with a free agency period, you might have heard of the term F5 season, F5 being the refresh button. And we're sort of in F5 season now with Albon, where we're just refreshing our news pages every 30 seconds, hoping for some news on what's going to happen with Albon, because it's strange. Like, in terms of performance, it's clear that he hasn't done enough to keep the job. And as you'll see, if you read our site, there's all these things on the site. Ted Kravitz, who's very well informed, saying basically it's going to happen this week. They're going to announce Perez in his spot. But at the same time, like, Red Bull's taken this very supportive stance towards Albon, which isn't a bad thing, but, you know, you sort of factor in the behind-the-scenes rumours of, well, there's push from the ownership, Dietrich Mateschitz, and the tyre owners to keep a tyre in the car. Apparently, you know, there's a lot going on there to be considered, which means he could get another year. I don't think he will, but, like, I'm not going to be... I'll be disappointed, but I won't be gobsmacked if he stays in the car for next year.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, while we're saying, oh, he was quite close to the Mercedes, his teammate was still 20 seconds up the road. He still qualified fifth, despite his teammate being on pole. It's better, but still not quite enough. And I don't think there's any other teammate in Formula One who would be judged on such a different standard. Paul, do you think Perez has done enough to earn it? Or do you think that Red Bull are going to keep it in the family?
Well, as you said, in the family, I think there's a severe case of nepotism going on there. I cannot think of anything else. You know, I'm astounded when I listen to Sky these days, because they're basically not only firing the guys, they're putting drivers in the seats too. I don't know if you've heard them. I mean, over a course of like free practice one, free practice two, free practice three, and qualifying, they talk so much shit. At the end of the day, you sit there and you think, you know, that Karen Chandhok and the crowd, they've sorted out the whole grid for next year. You know what I mean? So, and they've constantly been harping on the Albon factor, and it's just going on deaf ears at Red Bull, which I find astounding considering the lack of patience they've had in the past. So I don't care what anyone says, I'm going to put it out there. Definitely, I don't know if it's the tyre route or whatever, someone is protecting Albon beyond the pit wall. And I would say it would be in the boardrooms. So I'm going to say that. But at the same time, this is a racing team that's nurtured on winning. And I'm saying that Albon is excess baggage. You know, they should not be focusing on coaching a guy to be racing again, you know, at that level. That's their AlphaTauri. That's what they got AlphaTauri team for. They should be putting a guy who can be solid backup for Max. The first question you ask Sergio Perez is say, do you want to beat Max Verstappen? And Sergio, if Sergio is smart, he says, no, I want to help him be the world champion. That's what Sergio's got to do. But if Sergio goes in there, yeah, I can beat him, then they don't need him. You know what I'm saying? They have to build a solid backup for Max, because Max will deliver. For now, he's doing this whole thing solo. So if Red Bull are serious, and I bet they are. I mean, I can't believe Christian Horner doesn't see this. He's just got to toe the party line, which he's good at. That's why he's in that position. But really, Alex, sweet kid that he is, put him back at Toro Rosso. Look what it did for Pierre Gasly. But they need a heavy hitter in that seat next to Max.
Yeah, I think the only problem for Alex Albon, Ben, is the fact that it looks like Yuki Tsunoda is going to be taking his seat at AlphaTauri.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that there's... In the Red Bull program, there's always a future prospect. Whether that prospect pans out or not, there's always someone there. And now Sonoda's that next guy up. So he's almost certainly going to get his seat. Daniel Kvyat basically said that after the race that, yep, Sonoda's taking my seat. So we know Gasly's there. So in that case, for Albon, it does seem like it's Red Bull or bust.
Yeah, it is unfortunate for Albon, given that Gasly and Kvyat both were given that opportunity to drop back to AlphaTauri and kind of revitalise their careers. But given how well Gasly is performing and given some of the form that Tsunoda has shown in F2, it's probably not a surprise. Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Tsunoda is a shoe-in. I think that if you look at the post that Ben put up of Sky door-stopping Albon, to me that body language says he's gone. He's gone from the team, and because there is no place, Yuki Tsunoda is definitely going to get that drive. Pierre Gasly's confirmed. You know, 5 into 4 doesn't go, and that's of course if they bring Sergio. But I'm like with Ben. I mean, you know, with Alan Marquez, you don't know. He's the kind of guy who probably wakes up one day and says, "Okay, let's go get Mark Webber." You know, I don't know. It's one of those things. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's until it's announced. I'm incredibly kind of on the fence about this one. I think that they should go for Perez, but I just haven't seen a huge amount of evidence that that's the way they're looking. But, you know, as we know, as Ben said, time will tell.
The only way I believe Alex Albon should stay, if it was me, if I was Red Bull and I had to make the call, said, look, Alex has to stay in Formula One, what are we going to do? I will do what very few drivers do. But in every other sport, single sportsman sport, be it tennis, be it boxing, be it whatever, you have a former driver, be it a world champion, be it whatever. How smart would it have been when Alex started getting his problems that they tapped up Mark Webber and said, hey, Mark, we need you, mate. This kid's head's isn't in no man's land. We need you to go sort it out. Why isn't there veteran drivers and they're in the corner of these kids that come so unprepared with so little testing?
Before we go, I think we should just have 5 minutes to discuss some of the drivers that are leaving the sport at the end of this race. We'll go then through kind of the order that they finished in. Firstly, in 11th, we had Daniel Kvyat. As we've already mentioned, we think that it's looking almost certain that he'll be replaced at AlphaTauri by Yuki Tsunoda. A weird year for Kvyat, where he's only really kind of come on strong towards the end of the season. Ben, how would you assess what he's been doing?
As you say, weird is sort of the optimal word here. He's had some very strong results throughout his career, and his pace has been very, very good on Saturdays this latter part of the season. But he's just that sort of, he's that step below a sort of great driver. He's good, he's not great. And the problem is that when you're in the Red Bull setup, as I said before, there's always someone younger coming along, someone, you know, with more promise at their age. And that's just how it is. I would like to see him in another car, but if it doesn't happen, well, this is the game you play when you're in the Red Bull family.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, I just don't think there's any space for Daniel Kvyat. But Paul, he's had a decent career in Formula One, multiple seasons, couple of podiums. I think that he's done himself justice in that sense.
Yeah, it's been an interesting career for Daniel at Red Bull. I just need to point out on our site on the 25th of October 2017, we published a quote: "Marco, Kvyat will not return again." That was 2017. You know what I mean? So yeah, he's gone for now. I think a victim of a very strange program. I think they bullied him a lot. They kicked him out early to put Hartley in the car. I tell you what, there should be no love lost between them. And I think it showed this season. They needed someone to put in the car, and they called back on him. You know, and I find that, you know, it's a bit sad because I think he's a really, really cool guy, and he brings a lot of value in terms of intelligence and just a level of intellect that most of these drivers don't have. And it's really sad to see him go.
The next driver, obviously, that will be leaving the sport is Kevin Magnussen. Not a great end to his last season in Formula One. I think, Ben, that he's someone who he just kind of got in a bad car at the wrong time, and it's kind of seen his prospect and the way that people see him as a driver just kind of nosedive.
Yeah, how much of that is his fault? It's hard to say, just because he's been in this rotten situation. I almost feel like, me personally, it's sort of like you've got a abused dog or something and you give it to a good family and say, you know, you're free, you know, go and live your life now, and hopefully you can go do that in IMSA, because he's better than where he was at Haas, and you know, I think there's definitely greener pastures out there for him.
Yeah, Paul, you've spoken at length about Magnussen in the past. He's just been a bit unlucky, hasn't he?
Yeah, I just sum it up, you know, he started off with the podium, he was a hot shot. McLaren mismanagement was terrible at the time, and I just don't think he got a good shot after that. But I think sports car racing are the richer, and Formula One the poorer.
And just obviously the last one, he wasn't in this race, but Romain Grosjean, of course, going to be leaving sport as well. To be honest, I do like Grosjean as a guy, and he is someone who definitely on his day can be very quick, but I was surprised that Haas kept him on this season. Potentially he has been lucky to stay on a couple of years longer than perhaps some people thought he would. But yeah, this is the right time, I think, for him to go.
Absolutely. Paul and I were both shocked. I remember Paul would have to go back and find the headline, but we ran quite a derisive headline when it was announced that he was being renewed for 2020. And that's the thing, is that he's a quick driver, but he's definitely had his chance. And it's time for him to move on. And, you know, that seat is going to a young prospect. Well, obviously there's two Haas seats, but they're going to young prospects, and I think that's right. He's, I want to say, 33 years old. So it's definitely a good time for him to end his career.
Yeah, Paul, I think you would agree. He's had more than his fair share of opportunities.
Yeah, and I think, as Ben said, too many guys spend far too long, and there's a bunch of young guns coming in. Okay, we can criticize Haas for having rookies, but you know what? It's fresh blood, and it's really good to have it. Romain, well, you know, we know Romain, and it would just be distasteful to say why he shouldn't be in Formula One, because at this point, you know, it's sad to see him go, because he was a character, he was a personality, he was respected by the GPDA, who made him their president. So, yeah, I just want him to be safe, and I just want him to do anything silly. So, au revoir, Romain.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to finish this episode. Obviously, unfortunately, with the race being a bit of a dead rubber at the end of the season, there's not a huge amount to discuss. But I think that what we will do in the next couple of weeks is get into some of these driver moves with drivers that are actually going to be staying in the sport, and just see how the kind of landscape within Formula One is going to play out. Thanks very much, Ben and Paul, for joining me, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
See ya.